Let's jump right into it. Week 9, the Fantastics Fantasy Primer. Dan Claskins, James Adams, we're back with you. October has come to an end. November has arrived, and so too is the second half of the fantasy season. And Week 9 kicks it off. We're here to get you ready for the week. We've got more teams back on buys, injuries to talk about, always those. We're going to hit the waiver wire and going to get into some of the good and bad from last week. Before we do any of it, though, just a quick reminder, check us out wherever you subscribe to your podcast. Keep up with every episode, insiderfootball.com. You can get it there. That's where you can get all the tools to win as well. And James, here we are, my friend. November. I can't believe November has basically arrived. Now, I will say Thanksgiving is something I do look forward to, especially the eating part of it. But time's flying here, my friend. It's a good thing in a way, but at the same time, it's like, oh my gosh, I don't want football to end this quickly.
Well, I think not just here where we're at locally in the greater Cincinnati area, but like all over the country, it went from literally shorts weather 2 to 3 days ago to where is everything I own that I have to put on? I mean, it's gone from like highs were almost in the 80s where we're at a couple of days ago. Now it's lows are in the 20s. So, you know, we're speaking Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
In case Celsius scale.
It's going
to that makes back. It feel like it's gone. You know what I mean? Like it makes it feel like it went from summer to winter to me.
Yeah. Well, it's going to get a little bit warmer and who cares about the temperatures at the end of the day. All we care about is avoiding the injury bug right now, staying alive through these bye weeks. Yeah, we had no teams on byes last week, but we still have 20 of the 32 teams left, including four this week to deal with, which include Denver, Detroit, Jacksonville, and San Francisco, which each of those four teams have, even the Broncos, some fantasy assets we're going to have to work our way around. And as always, James, we got a lot of waiver wire recommendations, but it's getting a little thin out there. So trade deadlines could be coming up in your league as well. You need to be aware of them. Usually in a lot of leagues, James, it's mid-November, so we could only have a couple more weeks. So it's time to make your move, and we're ready to help you do that. Also, just want to remind you, coming up here, Veterans Day is part of November. We've got some exciting do-good fantasy events coming up, including our second-half fantasy challenge. Already some great prizes up there. More details to come. You can check that out over on X at Dan Claskins at my blog there, getsportsinfo.com. But really looking to have some fun down the stretch of the season, especially if your season's already stinking in some of your current leagues. But James, before we dive into any of our normal stuff, it was the trade deadline here today as we bring the podcast to you on Halloween, October 31st. And unfortunately, James, a lot more tricks than treats on the rumor mill out here, and from a fantasy perspective, definitely had some trades go down today. The Commanders basically selling both their pass rushers, Montez Sweat, to the Bears for a second round pick. Commanders also taking Chase Young to the Niners for a third round pick. So five top 100 picks next year for Washington, but they're selling here. The Giants traded Leonard Williams to the Seahawks for a second and fifth round pick. It was part of the deadline. But from a fantasy perspective, we didn't really get a lot of moves today. Really only two to even talk about briefly here. The Browns getting Donovan Peoples-Jones from the Lions for a sixth round pick, and the Vikings on the wake of the Achilles injury ending Kirk Cousins' season. They acquired Josh Dobbs and a seventh round pick to the Vikings for a sixth round pick, I should say, from the Cardinals. So, James, let's start there. I mean, first of all, I was hoping like, you know, Jerry Jeudy would get traded or Derrick Henry or something that would give us some more fantasy thump. I guess the only thing here is I'm a little bit more encouraged by Jordan Addison, maybe Justin Jefferson still having some value this season than I was 24 hours ago. But how much does the Dobbs thing move the needle for you?
Where was Dalton? Where was Winston? Where in the hell is Carson Wentz? Dobbs is what you get if you're a Hockenson guy, if you're waiting for Jefferson, if you're waiting for Addison. He's a competent NFL quarterback. He's better than, going with the fifth rounder coming out of nowhere that they had behind Cousins. I don't know. I mean, I was really hopeful that Dalton or Winston was going to be in the mix. And when the Dobbs news came in with about 2 hours still to go in the deadline, I just thought, well, I guess either costs were too much or those two things really weren't true. But as somebody who's heavily invested in Hockenson, I mean, was really, frankly, and Cousins as well. I was hoping for a little something more than that, but Dobbs to me is least, like, here's the positives. And look, I don't know if anybody, I think it's already said that he's not going to start this week. He's an incredibly smart guy. Like, he's a rocket scientist. Like, he is a legitimate rocket scientist, right? Space engineering was his major at Tennessee. He's worked with NASA a little bit. Maybe more for show for the NFL connection, but still, he's smart enough to do that. He can learn this offense. I'm interested to see what happens, but
yeah, I mean, he'll definitely get his chance. There's no doubt about that. It might take a week or two, and we'll see where the Vikings are at, but they're in the NFC, man. You only got to get the 9 wins to have a shot. Let's face it. It does suck for Cousins. That's the real crappy part of this story. Is Kirk Cousins is a good dude, man. I actually saw on social out there today, the day after his season-ending injury, with his knee on a cart, he's out there signing autographs in an event for kids. I mean, you know, dude's a class act. In a contract year, it's going to cost him millions of dollars. And it's so funny. All my Vikings friends that are like, oh, Cousins is on a leash, Cousins is on a leash. Now they're like, oh, man, they're like, you know, Kirk Cousins. Sometimes, James, you don't really appreciate to what you have until you don't have it no more. That's a sad fact of life, and certainly coming that way for Vikings fans here. I will say this. I had Dobbs in a couple super flex spots where I'm really hurting at quarterback, and I was about ready to cut him, but I want to see how things shook out at the trade deadline. So from that perspective, it couldn't have gone much better from a fantasy slant. Mm-hmm. Donovan Peoples-Jones to the Lions for a 6. Cedric Wilson expected to get a little bit of bump here in this Browns passing game, which, let's face it, with this quarterback situation out there, who cares? Donovan Peoples-Jones, though, James, back when I was all in on Watson bouncing back in the Browns, the guy's talent, the guy's size, interesting fit here in Detroit, where Marvin Lewis had an abrupt retirement. Not that it's going to mean much for a fantasy potential, but this could, if you have dynasty shares of Donovan Peoples-Jones, actually be an uptick here.
Marvin Lewis, Marvin Jones.
Marvin Jones, I meant to say.
That's all right. I know how you and I would connect. They connect very.
I'm sorry. I'm not allowed to say those two words to you anymore. I'm sorry,
James. They connect really well in my brain, too. I got you.
I didn't even realize I did it. But yeah, Marvin Jones Jr., not Marvin Lewis, because he's still actually coaching for Arizona State, I believe.
Here'd be my question. Does that speak to, like, the Jones retirement? Or does that speak to,
well, I think
Jameson Williams ain't the dude. I know it's early. Keeps dropping balls, man.
I'm not going to take that leap of faith just yet. I mean, I've seen him make too many plays in past life. But I will say that a 6th-round pick isn't a lot for a receiver that, I mean, if you really think the guy has an uptick, I mean.
He was impactful in a best ball last year that I had.
Yeah, at least, you know, with Peoples-Jones. So in deeper leagues, especially dynasty leagues, this is a good thing. I don't think it has much of an impact on the Lions as a whole here. And like I said, from a fantasy standpoint, really the only moves of coming out of here is, I think with the fantasy impact, is Kyler Murray now. You would think he'd get the start this week, but they're non-committal. I mean, he's back to full practice. They have 21 days. They're about midway through that on his window here, but they're talking about Clayton Tune throwing the rookie out to the dog pound in Cleveland versus that defense.
I bet that happens, and then they go to Murray.
Yeah, they don't want Murray coming back to that mess, is what
that's what I bet happens, yeah.
Kyler Murray, though, down the stretch, James, I mean, what can we expect from him?
I mean, I think if you're, like, desperate at quarterback, I think he's a player to go out and grab, even if he doesn't do very much with his legs. Arizona's not that great. And I do think that Arizona's in a situation where they're looking towards next year, and that might mean a future without Kyler Murray. I know he signed a contract recently, but maybe they're trying to move him, or they just say, hey, let's cut our losses. And I mean, I know the economics of that is not easy, but I do think that there is a thought in that building now that they're like, I'm not so sure Kyler Murray is the guy we want to put our future on. And I think they're going to look at this, the end of this run with him. As soon as he's healthy, I think he plays for that reason, if not for their future, to see if they can maybe try to get him on another team and convince them that he's their future.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't believe in the guy myself. I mean, when you got to build it into a contract that you have to watch film, I mean, that's not what it takes. So yep. If I'm an Arizona fan, I'm hoping they play Clayton Tune the rest of the freaking season and don't even activate the dude and take the number one pick and get their next quarterback. But I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. I do think that the other thing that is closer to what you're going to say has happened here. But Kyler Murray, I mean, in fantasy, I guess if you're a Kirk Cousins owner, Kyler Murray seems pretty good right now. But there are weapons in the offense, and if they get him and James Conner back, I'm with you on the uptick there. So, all right, let's get on to week 8 and finishing up finished business there. Some good surprises, some bad surprises. And, dude, I got to start with our, well, sort of hometown guy. I'm a UK football fan. So, Will Levis. I didn't believe it was going to happen, James. I didn't. I was considering benching DeAndre Hopkins for Kadarius Toney in my Scott Fish fishbowl, but I talked myself out of that. Thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Four tutties, 19 to 29, 238 yards through the air against a pretty good defense. It wasn't perfect, but how about this, man? The last UK football player to throw an NFL pass in a game, our guy Jarrett Lorenzen, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a minute for Wildcat fans, and Will Levis looked the part. And here's the thing. He breathed life back into that Tennessee offense. Will Levis, if I'm Tennessee right now versus Ryan Tannehill, will we ever see him? You want to talk about a guy that should have been traded today? There's the guy.
I mean, I could certainly see him being traded if there was anybody interested, but he just hasn't looked like he's been anything worth an NFL quarterback spot lately.
Well, Tennessee should have traded Derrick Henry, too. That didn't happen. I mean, their ownership sucks. Let's call it what it is. But at the end of the day, like Will Levis in a fantasy stretch here, I mean, he could actually become a guy that's in this landscape that we're living in with fantasy signal callers right now, a very relative name here.
If Derrick Henry gets going, Will Levis gets going. Look, there's only one team in the division. They've got two other teams they'll certainly surpass. I know the AFC's tough. You say that the ownership stinks. I won't go that far, man. Just a couple of years ago, they're the number one seed. I like what Vrabel does as a coach. I'm not sure that
I like
the best team, but I think that they're still in on this season after the win, and I don't blame them. I think Levis has fantasy legs, man.
All right, let's get on a couple more good things from week 8. We got to go about our dude, Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Bengals are back, baby. All you doubters, come at me again. I'm ready to defend it because that offense looked super, James, super, mm-hmm. Against a dang-on good defense. Snapped that 11-game skid. The play that Burrow made on that first drive to escape would-be sackers, step up in the pocket and find T. Higgins to keep that opening drive going. That right there showed me that he's over his injury. I think it showed all of us by the end of the game. 18 consecutive completions. I think the sky is the limit for Mr. Burrow here down the stretch. And they're matched up. Buffalo, it's one of the highest totals. We'll get into the game, but I don't think it's slowing down anytime soon. I've never left the Burrow bus, but that bus is getting pretty full again, James.
Yeah, and I mean, quite frankly, it could have been better too, right? The turnover by Smith near the goal line. Burrow and Higgins wasn't great yet either. So I think there's plenty of room for improvement. Burrow looked the part. You're right. I mean, you got to throw Dak Prescott in there too, Dan, if we're talking about good surprises. Not that it was a surprise, because I've been telling you that I didn't get off that bandwagon either.
Yeah. Four tutties against the Rams D. Well, that was
only the Rams impressive. Had a counterpunch.
I know. I was going against CD Lamb in more than one league too.
Hmm.
We'll go ahead and give him a good performance. Dude, we got to give Sam Howell one. He was QB1 this week. I mean, sure. They didn't end up winning that game. He threw 52 times, almost 400 yards, 397, four touchdowns. James, he's QB8 on the season. Sam Howell is that weight on the quarterback home run that paid off this year.
Yep. If you hit, you hit right there. And that was a play that was interesting because he plays in that Kansas City East, if we're going to call it offense, right, with Bieniemy. And there's been many more good weeks than bad.
Yeah. You want to hear the dud of the week? He was my stud of the week at quarterback last week, and my studs, duds, and sleepers. Lamar Jackson, dude, totally sucked. It was the Gus Edwards show. And, of course, they still won their game. They couldn't even have lost the game on his dud performance. 13.6 fantasy points, 5 carries, 17 yards. I lost player props. Oh, man, it was terrible, dude. What else? Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he had the flu, dude. Oh, my goodness. I mean, talk about a first loss against an AFC West team just blows my mind. But, dude, he didn't even get 6 points. You're talking about who were some of the guys that outscored him? Taylor Heineke had more fantasy points. He didn't even play the whole game, dude. So
I mean, I'm looking at Mitch Trubisky, depending on the scoring system.
Yeah, Tommy DeVito. Who? Tommy DeVito had about as many fantasy points as Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, it was ugly. It was ugly. I mean, I'll throw one more bad one who was even worse than Mahomes, and that's Desmond Ritter. Certainly didn't pay the price for him, but Dan, preseason, there were very few over bets that I made. Desmond Ritter's passing yardage and touchdowns were two of them.
Yeah.
They ain't looking good.
Oh, they're not. And I'll tell you, this league's tough. I mean, you look at the Mahomes thing. One week, Denver gives up 70 to Miami. Then they hold the Chiefs to 9. I mean,
division rival. That's division rival, man. It's crazy.
Yeah. You got anything at running back you want to throw out here?
I mean, not that it was a good surprise, but Travis Etienne is now a touchdown machine. They even said it during the broadcast. I know that's going back to the beginning of the week, but they said they needed to start calling it the Etienne zone. Dude just continues to carry teams.
Yeah. I mean, I mentioned Gus Edwards. He was RB1 with those 3 touchdowns. But, dude, Jahmyr Gibbs, for all the truthers that have stuck by his side, 152 yards on the ground, 37 through the air. He outgained the Raiders offense by himself on Monday night. And James, I mean, I love my man Montgomery, but it's hard to imagine Gibbs just being dialed down too much after watching what we've seen these past 2 weeks.
Yeah, but they can use them both. And I think they will.
They will, dude. How sick are the Lions starting to look as they get healthy?
They certainly will. You know who finally got in the end zone from the running back position? Our guy, Javonte Williams.
Yeah, I was just going to say, let's give him some props. Dude, 33 carries, or 30 carries, I should say, total, 30 touches with his combined yards. So that was impressive to see. Breece Hall had a big game as well. Unfortunately, my Texans running backs and my Nico Collins, none of the Texans stuff paid off. My CJ Stroud over, I'm going to give all of them duds for the week. That was terrible.
Yeah, not good. CJ Stroud was my sleeper this week, and he was never woken from the slumber. So I'm right there with you. Pierce, unfortunately, showed a little bit, which means neither him or Singletary can be trusted one tiny bit.
Dude, the one of my overs, you know, I continue to crush these totals. It's the only thing I'm really crushing this season. And I was all over on the Saints and Colts game. And you would think with it hitting like it did, that Chris Olave would have done something, James. He would have done something. Yeah. 5 catches, 46 yards on 9 targets. He is not living up to that late second round ADP he was going at in August by far. And I don't have a ton of shares of him. I wanted more of him, frankly. But the shares I have are getting painful.
You know, it could be similar to the Drake London experience where it's not only him, but the quarterback throwing the ball.
Yeah. I'm having enough buzz kills and good stuff. You got anything good left from last week?
No, not particular. I mean, you mentioned CeeDee Lamb, AJ Brown too. You know, just not that it's a surprise, but boy, he continues to dominate.
Dude, what about Taysom Hill? I keep doubting, but he's been a top 3 tight end over the last 3 weeks. So I still question its sustainability, but at the nature of the position, dude, at this point, you got to take him serious.
If you're not rostering a handful of guys, he is in the equation now. He is back in tight end one.
Yes, yes, indeed. I'm so glad I cut him in so many spots after picking him up. All right, let's get to the injury report. We already talked about the Kirk Cousins stuff. He's out for the season. They're going to try to turn to Josh Dobbs. This week it's going to be likely Jared Allen. We saw him in relief a little bit, Jaren Hall. Jaren Hall this past week, Kevin O'Connell does have confidence in the youngster. We'll see. He was 3 of 4 for 23 yards. He did lose a fumble in that game, but with the Falcons on top, it is not a great situation for any part of that offense in my eyes. We'll get to that game breakdown in a bit, but James, the Matthew Stafford injury, another one of concern here. He's dealing with the thumb issue. They're a week away from a bye. So his status really up in the air as the Rams get set for their week 9 trip to Lambeau Field.
So I know no one cares, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it anyway. I'm in a super flex league. My team's pretty good. 14 teamer. I'd be a playoff team right now. My quarterbacks are Jared Goff on bye this week. Stafford probably not going to play. Kirk Cousins out for the year. How you doing, baby?
Yeah, that stinks, dude. And you're right.
So when I'm looking at Stafford, I'm like, and And there's no way they'll play Stafford this week with the bye coming unless he's absolutely going to gut it out. And he might.
Yeah.
But and who knows? We don't know yet.
If he's out, you know, the backup situation not great here. I mean, that's going to hurt Puka Nacua. It's going to hurt Kupp. I mean, it's going to have a huge ripple effect. Kenny Pickett, he's playing Thursday night. Right now, he's trending in the right direction with this ribs issue. If he's out, it'll be Mitch Trubisky. So we'll have to keep our eyes on that. Of course, the Titans, the Steelers, they'll be the kickoff game. We'll break it down in a minute. Tyrod Taylor, rib issue, was hospitalized after the game. This isn't looking good. Good news is Daniel Jones has been cleared for contact with his neck issue. He's talking as if he's going to possibly return this week. Could be just in time for the Giants there at Las Vegas. The Giants will also be wondering if Darren Waller will be available. It was been battling this nagging hamstring all season, went in the game. It was actually a different part of the hamstring here, so it's not looking good. I would expect some multiple weeks, perhaps here. We'll have to see how a week goes. It is sort of disappointing, James, because Waller was in a prime matchup here, looking pretty good in the revenge game trip to Las Vegas coming up this week. So
I know, and he's coming off of he led his team in receiving yardage last week too.
He only had 4 yards. Yeah.
Drake, the combined quarterback numbers was 5 of 8 for 7 yards. Saquon caught 3 for 0.
I mean,
what in the heck?
It's a mess. It is a true mess, but better days are ahead for the Giants offense, hopefully. Drake London, groin injury, left last week's game. Another situation in Curtis Samuel. He's got maybe a turf toe. It did mean Jahan Dotson came back a little bit, but we're not keeping too much stock in that. James, let's get to the waiver wire here. And the waiver wire this week, I mean, we keep saying some names. You know, we're going to get through the obvious guys like Josh Downs, Rashee Rice. These guys should have been picked up by now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I just mentioned a guy, Jahan Dotson, dropped in many cases. He's got quite a bit more availability than I was looking at here. He might be the top receiver play, assuming that Rice and Downs and some of these earlier guys are out here. I think the other names that I would even throw into the mix after their big games last week, obviously Khalil Shakur and Rashid Shaheed, I should say, my bad, for the Saints. Both those guys, I mean, yes, big games, James, but it is a little bit boom or bust at times.
You don't necessarily want to chase points, but I definitely think, you know, like in a Dotson situation, this guy's a former top pick. And Shaheed is a guy who every week he kind of gives you that. He's not in a Dolphins offense type, but
who would you prefer between Shaheed and Shakir?
Probably Shaheed, because I still think Diggs and Davis scare me more. Yeah. Shaheed has Shakir's the chance.
Appealing to me because I think he does get into the mix with in the slot now with Knox out, because they did have some two tight end sets and stuff going with Kincaid. So I think that was why we saw the uptick here, at least. I don't know.
That's fair. And look, I just, the Bills offense, like, not that the Saints is a great thing, like they're going to funnel to the running back, but I just, the Bills offense, I know Diggs and Davis and are going to get theirs. And I know that they still have Kincaid, and I know Allen is a threat at the goal line. And maybe that's just because I have James Cook on a few teams and it's like, boy, he's productive, but he doesn't score. Well, so maybe that's why I go to a different offense.
And then here's the thing with Kendrick Bourne out, I didn't even talk about his season ending injury. Skipped over that, but Demario Douglas, another guy that's probably right in that tier of these three.
Parker probably doesn't play next week too, with I'm guessing, it's so early to say, but he took a vicious hit to the head too, so I'm gonna guess that like Douglas might be the only guy in town for the Pats.
Yeah, anything else at receiver that you want to talk about?
Nah, not really. Douglas was the one outside of the guys that you had hit.
I think Dotson's the guy I'm picking up above them all again, especially if Curtis Samuel's injury appears to be more than just a 1 week thing.
Yeah,
we talked to quarterback. I mean, Kyler Murray's going to be the big name this week if he's out there, especially in, I mean, Superflex, he's already been scooped up and stashed for sure. But in one QB leagues where two quarterbacks are carried, I could see some owners wanting to make a bench swap out as well here. And it'd be worth taking the risk on. After you get past him, I mean, Sam Howell, if he's still out there,
heck yeah.
I like him better than Kyler Murray for sure.
Yep, I like his legs right now this season.
Kyler Murray and Derek Carr is sitting on your waiver wire. Who are you taking?
I'm hoping that Sam Howell or Will Levis is available, and I'm taking one of those two above him. But
Will Levis and of all these guys I just said are all available this week. Where's Will Levis fall at in the order?
He's ahead of Kyler for me. He's had his bye. His schedule is nice. So you would bid more
right now on Will Levis than Kyler Murray?
Is it? I mean, dude, look, I realized that maybe it was too much pre-draft hype, but I mean, Will Levis was supposed to go like second pick overall, right?
He's got a cannon, but he lacks, I mean, some other critical things. We'll see. I'm not arguing with you. I'm not a Kyler Murray fan, so I. Kyler Murray
was nice for Levis.
Kyler Murray would still be my top QB priority based off of what we've already seen.
I am so anti Kyler Murray.
I think he sucks, but as an NFL quarterback, I would want him as my team. But I mean, from a fantasy standpoint here, I think I would prioritize him over Levis. I am intrigued by Levis.
Okay. Fair enough.
Running back, there isn't much to talk about, dude. I mean, it's a recycled. We can just go back to last week's tape because it's Amari DeMarcado. One more week of him, probably. Leonard Fournette was picked up by Buffalo, but does it matter? Or is this just Latavius Murray's replacement? I'm not spending too much of my fab on him, James, unless none. I'm really desperate.
Not spending any of it.
Dude's been on his couch. He came into training camp like 40 pounds overweight last summer when he was still playing for the world champions. I mean, how committed do you think he's been? I mean,
none. Not at all. Not at all.
Yeah. So I'm just not buying into it. So I don't, I mean, there's nothing out there, nothing at running back. Pierre Strong, Tyjae Spears, now that Henry hasn't gone out there in shallower leagues, I guess you could look at those guys if you need a bye week filler. But
yeah, get your handcuff. Go look at the bye weeks that are coming up. That's the deal. Go look and see if in these crazy, more shallow leagues, a Devon Achane got dropped, you know, stuff like that. That's what you're looking for.
Yeah. Tight end, we mentioned Taysom Hill. He's doing well. Trey McBride, you talked about him last week with Zach Ertz on the IR. So those guys would be out there. Would you rather have McBride or Taysom Hill, James?
If I needed 5 points a week, I'd rather have McBride. If I needed upside, I'd want Taysom Hill. Yeah. So,
and Logan Thomas isn't too far off that tier for me, frankly.
But then you had the emergence of Jamison Crowder as well. It's like, how many guys can we support in the Washington pass game?
Right now, Sam Howell's throwing 52 times a game. So
yeah, maybe the
and they just five. Traded away their defense pass rush. So, I don't
so maybe the answer is five. I mean, maybe it is.
I mean, it might be. I mean, I'm not trying to be smart, but I mean, the Commanders' defense was already one of the worst in the leagues.
No, I get you. I mean, like, maybe the answer is five. And if you're searching for desperation plays, there's an offense to look at because you do know in the end that they're going to throw the heck out of the ball.
Yeah. Well, I think that's all I had on the waiver wire. Anything else you got?
Nah. Again, like you said, because there's no teams on bye. I'm sorry. Last week, go back and look and see if players were dropped. Be looking towards next week because there's some good teams. Kansas City, Miami are both on bye next week.
Yep.
So lots of studs next
defensive week. Streamer, my end of the week will be the Raiders because they're going against the Giants. And I think we've talked about that.
Yeah.
I might take a stab at the Vikings too. I know that they're dealing with some woes there, but there's some quarterback uncertainty in Atlanta. So maybe that's in a deeper situation, but Atlanta on the other side of that matchup obviously would be the preferred play.
Ain't no uncertainty. Taylor Heinicke has to be their guy, but I don't know that. I'm just throwing that out there.
Could still be worth streaming a defense against him is my point.
Oh yeah, because he'll take chances. That's the difference. Ritter's too safe, Heinicke's too dangerous.
So so those are some plays there. Let's get to the breakdown, James. Let's start. We got a Thursday night game on tap. We've already teed it up with Will Levis starting. We're waiting to see what the Steelers situation will be. I'm expecting as of right now to be Kenny Pickett. He's going to be a game time decision likely with the ribs. The Steelers are 3-point favorites. The total's 36.5. Who you like in the contest?
I mean, I think I still like the Steelers playing on Thursday night, but I'm intrigued by Levis, and you could throw the ball on Pittsburgh. So can Levis stay upright? Can he deal with the pressure that might be coming that he didn't see a week ago?
Big questions. Big questions. I think it's going to be a defensive battle. These are two physical teams, two defensive-minded coaches. So I'm not expecting much in terms of fantasy production, to be clear. Derrick Henry, they're going to be glad they kept him in Tennessee for this one because he's going to get pound, pound, pound. This is the type of game DeAndre Hopkins likes too. So those guys are both in starting order. We've seen wide receiver ones rip the Steelers' defense all season long. So I can get behind that. In terms of where Levis falls in, he's top 15 quarterback, I think, in this matchup, James, based off what we saw last week and the upside. He's definitely in the top half of my starters.
Yeah, I think he's got a massive gaping hole as a floor, though.
Too, the floor is low.
Because it could get scary in Pittsburgh. On
it is night. Low. But I'm just telling you where I'm projecting him. Right now it's about probably about QB 16 or 17.
It can't be worse than going on the road in the SEC behind that line at UK, though.
I mean, he's going to make mistakes. I mean, he definitely loses value in leagues where interceptions are costly. Yeah.
But I'm with you. I think he has good upside, and I think he showed he's going to take chances.
On the other side of it, if Pickett goes, I mean, how do we – would you rather have Pickett at home over Levis? The answer is no for me.
I don't think so. I mean,
if it's Mitch Trubisky, I'd rather
have Trubisky or Pickett.
Yeah.
Is who I'm trying to decide before the Steelers decide.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. I'd rather if Pickett is not 100%, I don't know why you roll him out there. You just go with Trubisky and see if you can get something going here.
I think you're right, and I think no matter who plays there, I think you're still playing
Tennessee Pickens can be passed on. Johnson. It's the running game that struggles, so I think they're going to have to get Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren involved as receiving options out of the backfield, and I would expect those receiving props to be nice. All right, let's get on to some other matchups moving down the calendar into Sunday morning. Yes, that's right. The London games are over, but we got a couple Germany games, including this first matchup. One of the best matchups of the season, James. The Chiefs and the Dolphins going at it in Germany. The Chiefs minus two, the total's at 51. And this one's worth waking up for.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. I mean, when I saw this one was at 9:30, because I didn't really realize that this was going to be over in Europe, I was like, what the heck? This is a game that the Chiefs fans got to be upset they're not having at home.
Actually, I read a big article about it, and it boiled down to, I mean, it was either the Chiefs were playing them, the Bills, the Bengals, or the Bears, because division opponents wouldn't make it. So it was between those four teams, and the Bears, they only come to Kansas City every so often. So there's so many Bears fans throughout the Midwest that they didn't want to miss that opportunity for them to come to Kansas City. So the league that, I mean, if you were picking before the season, Bengal, Bills, and Dolphins, where would you rank them? This one was third.
Yeah, I agree.
It's pretty interesting, but that is the actual how it all happened.
Nice tidbit.
Yes.
It's going to be a hell of a game.
It's going to hit the total, dude. I'm hoping that this is bounce back week, you know.
I think it is.
You know, I don't know if Taylor Swift's going to be there or not, James, but
I would say there's a 100% chance she will not be.
Yes. Yeah, so let's, you know, use Travis Kelce at your
at your own risk.
I think it's light them up, baby. I'm starting all my Chiefs, including Rashee Rice, in this one. I'm firing up them Dolphins like it's, you know, like
1972.
We're partying like it's 1999, because they might put 99 points total on the board here.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good one. I'm with you. Play them all.
All right. So then we get to the 1 o'clock Rams-Packers, minus three Green Bay at home. We don't know who the Rams quarterback is. The total's at 40. Obviously, it's hard to project this offense right now. The running back situation is a mess. Henderson did take a little bit of a dip. We saw Freeman get the touchdown here. Packers, not a great matchup. So those guys are flex plays at best. If Stafford's out, you're going to have to downgrade Kupp and Nacua, but I think probably in both cases, they're probably in season-long lineups more often than not, James. Higbee's done for me for now, especially given this quarterback woes. How do you look at the Packers matching up against this Rams D that just got shredded in Dallas?
I mean, I still don't know that I trust a single player for the Packers. So quite frankly, I could find warts for every single player. You going to start Reed at receiver now? I guess with Dobbs, Watson, none of them count. Maybe it's because Love's not that good. Dude, quite frankly, I mean, you're going to turn to all those players I just mentioned as you probably turn to Aaron Jones. There is zero confidence in any of them right now.
Yeah, no doubt about that. We have the Commanders. We have the Patriots. The Commanders, definitely, we talked about them giving up their two pass rushers here. But offensively, still the same guys that have been lighting it up. Sam Howell's chucking it up, 52 attempts last week. And McLaurin is certainly, if not a top 15, even not even a wide receiver one in fantasy right now. We talked about Logan Thomas being a viable back end tight end one. We'll see if Curtis Samuel's playing. If he's out, I like Dotson. If he's healthy, then they're both a little risky, in my opinion. And James, Brian Robinson Jr. remains to be a nice, you know, what he is, RB2. Nice one to have there.
Gibson, nice to see him get in the end zone again. It would be nice to see.
Gibson, we're dropping.
Yep.
So New England, pretty good defense too. So I am a bit concerned we won't see the explosiveness, but I thought the Eagles were a good defense last week.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, now Howell's been, he threw for 290 the other time against the Eagles too. So I'm with you on the Patriots side of the ball. I mean, I guess you can return to Ramondre. Mac Jones is a super flex guy. I'm not turning to him in one quarterback leagues. He shows you something every great once in a while. I guess you mentioned Douglas earlier with no one else in the receiver core. He's somebody you can turn to as a wide receiver three. And maybe this puts...
I'll tell you what I'm talking myself into right here is I'm literally looking at the lines because they've already gone up a half point, a point. I want about the over in this game.
Okay. Just because of the Patriots are going to put up some points without any pressure on Mac Jones.
That's what I'm thinking, dude. I'm liking the Patriots as a sleeper here.
Okay. I can get behind it. I mean,
it opened at 39. It's already gotten the 41 at DraftKings. It's 40 and a half in most shops. It was 40 this morning. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm jumping on this one before it gets to 41, my friend.
I can get that. I am interested to see outside of Mac Jones and Douglas, you know, who else will Jones go to? Or maybe there's not enough of any one person.
All right. We're doing that. Let's move along to the Bucks and the Texans here. And letdown city for the Texans for me last week. Do I trust them returning home here against the Bucks? Heck no. Heck no. They've all lost my trust. And that's the thing. They're a young team, James. They're going to be hard to trust. They're going to tease you. The matchup's definitely not as good as it was last week, but I do expect to bounce back. So the running back situation, that's a little troubling right now. Pierce, Singletary, it's too much of a split for either of them to be viable. They're very much touchdown-dependent flex plays in this matchup. So I'm avoiding them if possible. I definitely think Dalton Schultz is worth considering based off of your options, though it hasn't been pretty in the last couple outings. But, dude, really, the only thing here that's interesting is Tank Dell, because this is a guy that flashed. We haven't seen a lot. He's been dealing with the concussion. He's still, I'm not dropping him, but he's going to have to play his way back in any of my lineups.
Yeah, going to be interesting to see how Stroud bounces back, too. He did not throw the ball very well at all against his rookie counterpart. From the Bucs side of the ball, man, Baker, I think he's inside the circle of trust as, like, you know, if you're reaching outside of your typical starting quarterbacks, he's a player I've got confidence in turning to as a backup. And certainly in super flex, you start Evans, you start Godwin. I think you start Rashad White right now. It's you know, I'd like to see him get in the end zone too. But one thing that is trustworthy with Rashad White is it's his backfield. Even if it doesn't go well most weeks, he's getting all the touches.
Yeah. And that is not very frequent that we see that stuff. Chase Edmonds is healthy now. Let's see if he gets a little bit more of a role as the season rolls along. At least in the passing game, it could happen, especially if White doesn't do a lot with it. We've got Arizona at Cleveland. This one, we don't know who's starting at Arizona, so I'm not even going to speculate on any of that. On the other side of it, Cleveland, we probably wouldn't expect to see Deshaun Watson. The backfield's now been a three-headed monster. I would expect after Strong came back from an injured game that surprisingly after missing all last week, suddenly he was playing on Sunday, which I was shocked by. But it was really a three-way race. So it's hard to say. I mean, Ford would be the guy, but I don't know if you could trust any of them. Cooper, he's in. Elijah Moore, he's worth keeping on PPR. Njoku as well, but I'm not that interested in the Browns at all right now in fantasy, James.
No, so. I mean, obviously not. You're interested in playing their defense, and you're interested in playing their defense this week too, and maybe that's the only thing that you're interested in when the Cardinals have the ball.
Yeah, let's talk about Chicago, New Orleans. The Saints are 7-point favorites, 41.5 the total there. I mean, the Saints, interesting in their own right. We talked about Olave. What's your take on this offense here?
Alvin Kamara?
Yeah.
Everything else has giant question marks. Like, okay, Michael Thomas, I get it. Like, PPR, wide receiver three, you go there. Olave, I think you're still playing, but, you know, it's not great. You know, it depends on how – if you went wide receiver drunk in drafts the way I did, where maybe you have five guys that you can consider – You're playing four others and not him, but in most cases you're playing him. But Alvin Kamara is the only thing I trust, Dan. It's the only.
What do you think's fair trade value right now? A fair trade offer for Chris Olave. What player would make a fair trade offer at running back?
You think? We're talking in redraft right now?
Redraft, PPR, and nobody gets screwed. A true 50-50. What's the running back trade that Olave's worth at his current value?
I mean, like, is Rashad White, James Cook the right ballpark?
Wow, that's how far down you've got him. I don't know. It's a good question. I'm thinking of it as I even ask you.
I think those are guys that I feel safe starting every
week. I was thinking
week.
More like Pacheco.
Oh, my God, no. Pacheco's an RB1 right now, isn't
yeah.
he?
Well, yeah, he is.
Because I was thinking about, like, my RB1s right now. McCaffrey, Eckler, and I'm like, dude, at ETN, it might be Pacheco. I don't know, and I'm sure I'm missing some guys, but...
I mean, I'm just looking right now at the season. Pacheco's RB10, so maybe that's a little rich. How about Josh Jacobs? Is that a fair offer for Chris Olave in a PPR redraft?
I like Jacobs' upside better. So
it's closer than my Pacheco, perhaps.
Yeah, it's closer.
So James Cook, he's RB17. That's fair. How about Saquon Barkley for Chris Olave?
No, as bad as the Giants are, you want volume. Barkley had 36 carries. The offense threw the ball.
Javonte Williams for Chris Olave.
I want Javonte Williams.
Dude, I mean, you're really working your way down the list here.
I am, and that's just it. Because look, Olave, it's not just him. Alvin Kamara is going to catch 10 passes. Michael Thomas is involved. Taysom Hill had, two rushing touchdowns last week.
So if what you're saying is true, if everybody views it like you, there's no reason to trade the guys. The point I'm trying to get to.
Yeah.
And you can't trade him now. You can't trade him now because you're not going to get what you drafted him at. You pretty much just have to sit on him unless, you know, he has a big game and you find a sucker.
Yeah, it's 100%.
So anyway, we spent a lot of time on that, but it was an interesting exercise. Seattle,
it's time of year. It's time of year to be thinking about that stuff.
Seattle, Baltimore, -3 is what it opened. It's already up to 5.5, which is surprising the way both of these teams played. Actually up to 6 now in favor of Baltimore at DraftKings. The total's at 43. James, I mean, the Ravens, they keep finding ways to win. It's not always easy to figure out in fantasy, but in the win column, it's looking good. Mm-hmm. How do you think they'll do against this first place Seahawks team with a defense that's actually kept teams under in all but two contests?
Well, it'll be interesting to see how that Seahawks defense plays on the road. And I understand they're 1 o'clock. They're great at 1 o'clock over the last 3 years, apparently, except for against the Bengals or 5 years or whatever it is. I still think you're firing up Lamar. You're firing up Andrews. You're firing up probably Gus Edwards with some guys on by, and you're firing up Flowers too. I don't know how it will fare. It could be low scoring. Lamar Andrews.
That's like my Jackson. Marvin Lewis instead of.
At least they're contemporaries. At least it's one guy throwing the ball to the other. Well, those two are contemporaries too. It's just not this era.
Different type.
But I think Lamar's the only thing you can truly trust. I mean, at this point, you can trust Andrews too because of the way tight end is. I trust Dalton Schultz at this point, so you can trust Andrews. But I don't know how they'll fare. The Seahawks defense could certainly show up and hold this team to 20, and that might not be enough for the Seahawks to win, too.
The Seahawks are going to have to do that because Geno Smith, I mean, the fun's over, guys. It's done. What we saw last year was a nice little story. Yeah, nobody wrote him off, and he doesn't suck, but he's never going to be what we thought he was at the peak of last year's fantasy run. And this offense doesn't want him to be that. That's the fact of the matter. Mm-hmm. That shouldn't come as a surprise. Pete Carroll, we know who he is. Zach Charbonnet is the guy that's going to get a bigger role down the stretch. And if they're going to have a chance to beat the Ravens, it's going to be the 1-2 punch of Walker and Charbonnet. Can they get it done? I don't know. I mean, obviously, Kenneth Walker right now, he's RB1, top 12 running back in every week until just off his volume. I mean, he's delivered. So
yeah,
I'm not shying away from that. But, James, it's DK Metcalf. It's Tyler Lockett. You're seeing Jaxon Smith-Njigba really emerging, getting better each week. The talent's prevailing here. Metcalf's dinged up. You need him to step up. This is the type of matchup his physicality would be welcome. Jaxon Smith-Njigba has a size too. Tyler Lockett's the odd man out. I mean, he's got to play his way back in the lineups. I can't endorse him anywhere right now. And I think Seattle is a definite contender in the NFC. They're one of the playoff teams. My over 10 wins is looking really good right now. So The Seahawks, I still like. I just don't think from a fantasy, the passing game is what we thought it was going to be, or at least what it was last season.
Yeah, that's for sure. And, you know, Metcalf was banged up earlier in the season, too.
I still like the guy's talent. I just think with Smith and Ajigba in the mix, it's, you know, the floor is getting lower.
Yeah. And to be fair, Lockett had a big game last week, but he had a vacancy in his presence, and with Jake Bobo being involved as well, it makes it hard to trust a guy like Lockett. But yeah, I think in this one, man, I'm not really trusting any of those receivers. Metcalf's the only one that I'll endorse at this point.
Yeah. We've got one more 1 o'clock to talk about, the Falcons welcoming Minnesota. And, you know, this, obviously we talked all through the quarterback stuff already, James. The line's currently 4.5, 37.5. The total, the Falcons favorite here. Why don't you just fly around the horn for this entire matchup quickly?
Hockenson and Addison are in. I mean, I'm not going to trust Osborne with the quarterback unknowns there in Minnesota. And I'm not going to trust Madison.
Is Addison Akers. Just a lock regardless of what happens at quarterback?
Probably not just a lock, but the lineups where I have him, he is. Like, he's already in my lineup. So maybe the answer is yes, because I have 20 lineups, and pretty universally he is for me. From the Falcons, I mean, what's up with London? Does he go? Who's at quarterback? So you have no idea. So the only guy locked in your lineup right now is Bijan Robinson.
Yeah, lots of wait and sees on this.
What happens if there is no London? Are we going to some new guy, new face like Van Jefferson? Or is it Jonnu Smith and Kyle Pitts emerging as the Twin Towers at tight end for a moment finally? Like, I don't have an answer to that. I don't even really have a guess, frankly.
I don't think there's much fantasy value in it.
Yeah. With Heinicke, there could be with the gunslinger mentality, but we don't know.
Yeah, this one's trending under for me as we talk through it.
Sure.
The Colts and Panthers, 2.5 is the line here in most spots, with the Colts a road favorite, the total 44. And this is a great matchup, I think, for this Colts offense. The Panthers defense definitely overachieved a little bit last week. I think the wily veteran Gardner Minshew isn't going to be spooked, though, here, James. I look for the Colts offense to get it going in this one. I know there's some questions about Taylor and you know, everything going on with Moss and all that, but the running game is going to have success here. The passing game is going to have success too. Love me some Marvin Harrison. Love me some Josh Downs. Gardner Minshew.
Michael Pittman. Oh my God, it's turned back the clock day. You just said Marvin Harrison.
Marvin Harrison. Jesus, where am I going? I'm the Marvin Harrison in the
Colts. And I swear, I have his son in my college fantasy league. Oh my God. Like, and then well, I started thinking,
funny wait, is, I was just talking about Marvin Harrison at work today. when we were Halloween, dude had on AJ Green shirt, and the long story, there was a Colts fan there. I was like, hey, where's your Marvin Harrison? Blah, blah, blah.
There you go.
So that is hilarious. That's Marvin Jones and Marvin Harrison. It's something up with the Marvins today.
Hey, it's Marv.
Trick or treat. I'm on sugar overload here, but.
I get
but the
that.
Point is I, if Marvin Harrison was playing, I'd start him too against this Panthers D. I like the Colts passing attack here. What's your thoughts on Bryce Young versus the Colts D?
I'm streaming the Colts D this week. Bryce Young got the win last week, but he didn't necessarily go out and look great. Adam Thielen is the only Panther I'm playing at this point.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you. I like the Raiders and the Giants as a game to not even try to watch this week, James. Luckily, we'll be tailgating for Sunday Night Football, and I will not have the opportunity to pay attention to this game. But, like, I mean, you have the worst coach in football versus the worst offense in football.
Yeah.
Josh McDaniel, I mean, if there's ever a greater example of somebody that rode Tom Brady's coattails, there it is.
It's and you know what sucks is you have two of the best running backs in football in this matchup, too.
I know.
And in the prime of their career.
The thing is, the Giants got a great coach. They just don't have a line or a quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't know, dude. I mean, Darren Waller, I doubt he's going to play here. I'd be shocked.
I want nothing to do with this game. You're right. I mean, that's why it made me laugh so good, because you built it up in a different fashion. It was a good
Josh one. Jacobs, I mean, I'm rolling him out. He's yeah. I mean, he's a top 24 running back this week, so you got to. Davante Adams, what in the world can we do with him? Jacoby Myers, I mean, in PPR, it's been mostly good. It's not like the Giants are all that great. It is in Vegas, so it's not a home game for the Giants. So those guys, I mean, you're not going to – it's just like Olave. You're not going to sit Davante Adams.
But the Giants' D has actually been pretty good here over the
okay.
last month.
It's been
– but you're right. You're not sitting Davante.
My whole point is Davante is – I mean, Devontae's not sitting anywhere. But Jacoby Myers didn't get targets either, and he's been PPR gold. I mean, I'm not going to sit him either, probably in PPR leagues, because, I mean, one game doesn't make the season here.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, they were tight. Yeah.
I mean, Josh McDaniel was a crappy coach the 3 weeks he was getting, you know, 20 100%. Fantasy points, too. So
100%.
Anything else on that matchup?
No.
Let's talk about some of these better games. We've got a couple really good ones here. The 425 game most of America will be watching, the Eagles and the Cowboys in Philly. The Eagles are 3-point favorites. The total's at 46. And James, I mean, what are you thinking about the Eagles in this one? The Dallas D has been pretty tough.
But you're still going to play all your Eagles. I think they continue to be what they are. We're a little concerned about Hurts' knee, but we expect them to play, right? There's nothing else going on there. So you play Hurts. You play Brown. You play Devonta Smith. You play Dallas Goedert. You play Swift as well. I get confused with my Swifts. And I think, like I said before, with the Philadelphia offense, you play those four skill position players. One of them will probably let you down, but they all four have to be pretty much started every week along with their quarterback.
Yeah, and on the Dallas side, I mean, after what we saw last week, you've got to keep riding with Dak here. He's going to be hard-pressed to match that effort, but him and Lamb seem to be connected right now. Tony Pollard's the one guy that's been a bit concerning, talking about guys not living up to draft capital. So. Mm-hmm. I will see. I actually was sort of envisioning Ezekiel Elliott getting traded back to Dallas, dude. I really did think that one was going to happen today.
I thought they might get somebody.
Well, I mean, it just made too much sense. But it didn't happen, so you're going to keep Pollard rolling and hope for the best. Let's get to the best game of the week, at least in my mind. Yeah. Already looking forward to Sunday night, James. The Bengals hosting Buffalo. And the line's up to 3 now, 48.5. The total gone up a couple points. We talked about Burrow looking good. Talk about your expectations for these Bengals in this one.
I mean, Ja'Marr Chase continues to look like the best receiver in football. The way he is a true professional. I mean, he does everything with such precision. Like, it's one thing to say, he goes out, he makes great catches. His footwork is amazing. He is an absolute stud. I mean, dude, I don't know if I trust T. Higgins to be like a wide receiver too at this point, but I think you're starting him in this matchup. And I think Tyler Boyd, if you're desperate, you can go to him, especially in bye weeks. But, you know, I don't think all three of those guys are going to be superstars come the end of the week.
Yeah, Josh Allen, he's QB1 for a reason. So expect big things in this one. I sure do. And Diggs as well. Gabe Davis, he is what he is. He's boom or bust. Dalton Kincaid, he's top 10 tight end right now, bro. And I think you're rolling him out until further notice. James Cook's getting the volume. He's still an RB2 play. Fournette, yeah, if you want to pick him up, go ahead. But no way, even if he's somehow remarkably active, are you thinking sticking him here? I don't even think that's going to happen out of the gate. And Lat Murray, no thanks. So he's a goal line back that can't get it in at the goal line, James. That's not a good combination at all. But this is a game I am expecting scoring on all fronts here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, it started out pretty quickly scoring last year before the Hamlin incident. So
Burrow was pretty dialed in last year before that game. He was pretty dialed in last week. I'm looking forward to being there on that one. All right, let's get to the Monday night game, the Jets, the Chargers. Another would have been Aaron Rodgers showcases that has gone to the knot. But the Chargers, 3-point favorites here, 41.5. Chargers looked pretty good last week. The Jets D is a lot better, though, James. Do you have confidence that the Chargers are going to be a fantasy-friendly unit as they make the trip to here in primetime?
In a league where I got Justin Herbert, Tua fell, and my backup quarterback is Tua, I've started Herbert every week, of course, minus week 5 bye. I think I'm starting Tua this week, so I guess that tells you where I'm at, that I've been more confident in Herbert any other week than I am this week.
Yeah, I definitely think that Eckler's getting into his flow. He's elite. He's going to look like it down the stretch. Jets have been run on. Obviously, Keenan Allen on volumes in there. I'm worried about Palmer in his knee, but he looks like he's toughing it out. Gerald Everett, not really startable in any format at this point for me. On the Jets side, Zach Wilson, no thanks, even in Superflex, but he might need to be needed here with four teams on by in Superflex. You never know.
Mm-hmm.
Breece Hall's looking pretty good, isn't he, James? Your thoughts on the rest of this Jets offense?
So my thoughts on Garrett Wilson?
Well, I mean, Breece Hall and whoever else.
Okay, because the rest of the offense after Breece Hall, I mean, Breece Hall is elite. He's an RB1 right now, too. And even if it's just in the passing game, whatever it is, he continues to put up those fantasy points. I don't think you're turning to anyone else, though. I mean, look, if you know the Chargers can be susceptible to put up points. So I don't trust Lazard. I don't trust Conklin. But those are your options if you're moving deeper.
Yeah. I don't. The Chargers definitely have some studs on D too. So this total opened at 43, ticking downward. I think it's about right.
Chargers are a terrible fantasy defense, by the way.
No, I'm not saying on the defense side, but I'm just saying, like, in terms of game flow and points, I think these teams are definitely in the low 20s. So, you know, you're going to use what you think and not try to get too cute in the matchup.
Yep, I agree.
Well, we're fresh out of time. We're looking forward to returning on Saturday morning. Catch us every Saturday over on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio. You can follow him at JamesAdams94, me at Dan Claskins, and our website at Fantastics, all there on X and across social media. And be sure to check out InsiderFootball.com where you can get our podcast anytime. Subscribe wherever you listen. James, any final words of wisdom here as we wrap up this episode?
No, just the points to hammer home with the upcoming bye weeks. Get your handcuffs. Look for trades. You know, it's that kind of time where you're really honing in your team to the final stretch run.
There you have it. He's James Adams. I'm Dan Claskins. We'll catch you next time right here on the Fantastics Insider Football Podcast.